The College Game Day podcast is presented by Old Dominion Freight Line, helping the world keep promises.
Welcome in, Picks Time. It's the weekend preview, which is brought to you by Eckridge Smoke Sausage. The secret to winning game days this college football season is Eckridge Smoke Sausage. Visit Eckridge.com for dozens of simple, mouth-watering recipes to elevate your next tailgate. All right, Pete, me and you, you and I, my mom would get mad at me if I said that wrong, and we got Schwenk as the triple hair. He's pulled off the trifecta of impersonations. We'll see what he's got. I don't think we need to get into the overall results because I don't want to jinx him because I'm up by a good number.
It's about time. At least in some outlet here, you're winning games.
Yeah, I want to take that fridge on game day and throw it off the set because it. I have nightmares of that freaking thing. Do fine on picks everywhere else, SportsCenter, Daily Wager, this pod, and I can't get that fridge right. But we'll keep firing on the fridge.
Hopefully, there'll be some deep fried Eckridge smoked sausage.
Everything.
In Dallas this week.
Yeah, whatever Eckridge has, let's throw it in the fryer later and get it going. All right, so we got some picks. I think it's a very interesting slate. I know the unbeatens versus unbeatens is going to get all the shine, but we got Bama going on the road. You got Colorado going on the road. LSU, what the hell are we going to expect with them? So let's dive in. First one, I think Schwenker has these in chronological order. Yeah, good job. Very good. I like that. All right, Maryland, undefeated. Terp Nation fired up at Ohio State. Ohio State minus 20, total 57.5. I'll go first on this just because I did some work with Scott. We did a segment last night on the undefeated matchups, and he knew the numbers, but not to that extent. And Columbus has not been kind to the Terps. It's been really, really bad. The last three games, 66-17, 73-14, 62-14. That's an average score of 67-15 in these matchups at Columbus. Now, Maryland people will point out they've battled. Should have had a chance to beat Ohio State their last two trips to College Park. This is interesting to me because I put Maryland and Duke in the same. I know people don't like that. Maryland doesn't like Duke. Duke doesn't like Maryland. We know that.
And SVP doesn't like that you like Duke.
Oh, that's you don't want to bring that up. I had to deal with that all week last week while I was down there, him checking in, asking if I was coming back. But I'll just say this. I thought of Maryland and Duke this year going into the season that they had a chance to be better football teams, but I didn't know if their record would be as good as it was last year. And now Maryland seems to be proving me wrong because that record is going to be better than it was last year. Now, anyone and everyone in this area wants, and the head coach has got to want it more than anybody, is to finally knock off a Penn State, Ohio State, or Michigan. That's the thing. They've shown improvements. You know, the bowl games, the bowl game wins, all that. Love what Locks is doing. Can they do it? The line is up to 20. That's telling you, obviously, Ohio State found themselves on that road win that we were at in South Bend, and they're going to get it rolling here. Ohio State is not good in the red zone. You heard Bill earlier this week talking about that. And Maryland is good, and that's because of Leah. He's the league leader in touchdown passes, passing yards, and 20-yard completions. I'm going to take the points. I'm really interested in Ohio State here because if they did find themselves, you're going to see Kyle McCord like we haven't seen, and that's going to be free, relaxed, and getting into those great weapons. I'll stop talking. Give me Maryland plus the points.
So it's almost like a referendum on, is this Maryland team different, right? Like there have been times when Maryland has started hot, looked good, and then hit the buzzsaw and really collapsed. You know, if they and I don't think they're going to win. I think the odds say they have a 9% chance of win. Mm-hmm. But if they are competitive, you look at the rest of their schedule, and they'll be favored against Illinois, favored at Northwestern, favored at Nebraska, and likely favored at Rutgers. Right. So yep. you could be talking about an all-time Maryland season here, even if they can't topple the big three. So that said, I have seen the progress. I appreciate the progress. I am biased by past result until something empirically tells me this Maryland team is different. So I am, you know, the Buckeyes are bad in the red zone defensively, but I do think they're improved defensively. And I think they'll be able to slow down that pass game enough. And I do think, like, history and doubt can creep in for Maryland here. So I'm going to take the Buckeyes by 28.
Got it. Fake Reese Davis, go.
Hello, gentlemen. This is Senator Reese Davis. To say Maryland's schedule has been soft is like saying I have decent hair. Gross understatement. My hair is spectacular. Everyone knows this. The Terps' opponents aren't 2-18 versus FBF's competition. If I miscounted, it's splitting hairs. Give me the Buckeyes. 42-21 is a cover. And ooh, afterwards, Ryan Day with beard whiskers standing on the end screams, I'd like to know where Bobby Ross is right now.
I feel like somebody added some fuel to this fire that's going to be today's pod with fake Reese Davis. Maybe even Reese chiming in with some news and nuggets. No one as dialed in as he is. All right, let's move on. Another noon kickoff. We'll be there. Cannot wait, Pete. My first time in all these years of doing it. Games.
Oh, you've never been?
Never. Never.
Wow.
So, yeah, I can't. And it can't be better. Both teams undefeated. Texas is -6.5. The total is 60. That is very eye-opening to me. Because when you think of Texas and Oklahoma, you just think of high-scoring games, you know, momentum swings, crowd split 50-50. I cannot wait for all that. And as I dove into Oklahoma's defense this week, yes, obviously my daughters could tell you that Oklahoma's defense is better than it was last year. But when you watch it, they're deeper. You know, the mix of transfers and young guys that Venables has gone to, you could see are playing just so much faster than they were previously. And I know there's a lot of new guys, but, you know, it's a complex system. He's not afraid to tell you that. But you see the guys have a grasp of that. And the way I see it is the way guys play fast. They're not thinking about anything. They're reacting. On the other side, I think it's a big deal that JT Sanders looks like he's not going to be able to go in this. I'm sure you'll have more throughout the week. High ankle sprain, is that what you're?
So it's an ankle, and he's not expected to practice much. I think we're going to end up with a game time decision. We will be actually, you and I will be actually standing in the Cotton Bowl watching him warm up, and I think it's going to be that. Watts is the other guy, Steve.
Yeah.
If we're talking about a shootout, I don't think Watts is like an all-league corner or anything. He's the Ohio State transfer, but when you're playing these dudes, you need some DBs now. Like you do need that. Malik Muhammad is the young guy they really like in Austin.
Yeah.
Like he was like a buzz guy this summer, real talented. You know, he'll play, but the problem is, who's two behind him that's going to get a bunch more snaps if Watts doesn't go? So anyway, there will be for the investors who listen to this pod, there will be some interesting early morning peaks on the field there.
Yeah, and as Pete said, we will be on the field the last hour of game day.
Which is awesome.
Right into that game. I cannot wait for that. And I mentioned Sanders because I watched him last year, and you talked to people on the staff there. You know, not soft, but just trying to still figure out all that leads to that position. You know how much Sark likes to move formations, motion. And Sanders is that guy they move around the most in that run game, which creates openings and has been a real pleasant surprise with them busting out with the run. But Sanders is third in NCAA in receiving yards amongst tight ends and second in yards per reception amongst tight ends in the country. So he's a difference maker. And they
remember that fourth down, Steve, against Bama.
Yeah. I mean,
that was like one of the biggest plays in the game.
Yeah.
And they motioned him and moved him around and got him open. You could tell that was one Sark had in his hip pocket and said, if we need 3 yards, we are going to, you know, do this and get it to him.
Yeah. And you mentioned hip pockets. You know, like when you wear the wrong shorts and you got your phone and your wallet and you actually have some cash in it and it starts to pull those shorts down a little bit. You got to make sure you got the tie going or the belt an extra loop. Both these play callers are going to have heavy pockets in this game. Lebby and Sark are going to have every trick in the book. And that, again, you think about this matchup, I think about the quarterbacks that have played, the skill guys, it's going to be awesome. And you look at Dylan Gabriel, everybody's going to talk about Ewers because he went and did it in Tuscaloosa. I get it. Gabriel hasn't played against the same competition, but I still think there's some things that you want to see him in as far as circumstances and situations that brought about against on Iowa State, who was first in the league in total defense. A road game at Cincinnati wasn't pretty, got the job done, got out of there with a win. SMU, I thought there was a good game plan. Obviously, they didn't score as much as they wanted, but I really believe Oklahoma has the goods to stay in this game. Pete, I mentioned Lebby. I really feel like he does a great job of creating those matchups. They got guys on the outside. Their secondary is – the defense isn't great, but it's active. And I do think Sark will use that matchup stuff. I expect some screens to be – you know, to use that aggressiveness that Venables has his guys playing with against them. I expect a high-scoring game. I could easily see both these teams scoring over 30, but I'm going to take Oklahoma plus the points.
Yeah, I would think, like, I don't say the over-unders like you do, Steve. That I would think that over gets crushed. Just if you look at how these teams are designed, you look at the key if Oklahoma is going to stay in this game is they need to dictate the pace, right? Mm-hmm. They need to really go. In that decade when the Big 12 was really the Big 12, the wide-open, hyper-tempo Big 12, you probably tried to bet those games, you probably lost some hair because, like, that, like, it's just impossible when there's that speed variance there. If Oklahoma's going to stay in the game, if you think Oklahoma can keep it close, I would hammer the over, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's just no way they can keep it close, and it's this game is not going to be 17-14, right?
No.
Like, that's just not going to happen. So, yeah, that's curiously low to me when you look at this. But I would say this about this game, Steve, and it's something that I'm really looking forward to, is it is wildly unpredictable, special team gashes, huge explosive plays. There is no game that I've been to where the energy of the environment dictates the wildness of the action like this game. So that said, I am not convinced of Oklahoma's offensive line, which is much better. They're playing with an edge. I talked to coaches this week who played Oklahoma. They really feel like that unit is better. I just don't think that unit is that talented right now. And I do think eventually Texas is just going to pound them up front and grind that tempo down, and they're going to be able to take control of the game. I think Texas wins, you know, something like 34-24. Oh, and then did I not? Oh, yeah. I guess I should not predict, say, hit the over and then do that. So I'll say 44-34. How about that? It's going to be going, but I think Texas can seal it at the end.
My inclination is to take Texas to cover. They might be the best team in the country, but they will give up a big play. Dylan Gabriel has completions to four different guys of at least 39 yards. So occasionally, you choose a bold pocket square with a predictable suit. You taste the bacon-wrapped fried Oreo. I think Texas wins, but give me OU and the touchdown to cover.
Thank you, Fake Reese.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Next one, 12 p.m. Eastern, LSU at Missouri. LSU is -6.5 on the road, a total 64.5. I am not going to overthink this one. I understand what LSU is going through. We've seen it before. My problem is it scheme or is it effort on the defensive side? The offense is – there's nothing wrong with that. They are just phenomenal. Guys going over 100 yards all over the place, receiving or rushing. So I look at Coach Drink, man. I hear people talking about it. This has to be one of the biggest home games. I was at the Landry Jones game in – what was that, 10? That was the year everybody kept getting knocked. Number one kept losing every week, and we were at it every week. But, yeah, I think it was Jeremy Maclin. Blaine Gabbert was the quarterback.
Yep.
Missouri had game day there. And I'm going to say this is the biggest game since then. and it was awesome. It's a really cool place. I know Missouri people love Como. I'm going to take the home team plus the points here. I think Drake has that offense going. Cook does have an interception this year. Their defense is a lot better than expected. They're going to be fully tested, but you're giving me touchdown at home in this kind of atmosphere that'll be ready for, 11 a.m. local kick. I'll take Coach Drake and the home team plus the points.
Yeah, at a certain point, LSU just has to prove something. To me, the most telling LSU game was how much they struggled with Arkansas. To me, that says that in an environment which should be as hostile as Missouri can be, that the Tigers are going to be able to move the ball. LSU's defense was just invisible, and Brian Kelly almost just said, look, like, the personnel is the personnel. They're sort of acquiescing to giving up a large amount of points. So I think Missouri's defense has been better maybe on paper than it has been in reality. And I do think they have a chance to maybe slow down Jaden Daniels, who's been fantastic. You know, without, on just pure performance and not gauging wins and losses, Jaden Daniels has been as good as any quarterback in the country this year. Maybe a hair behind Caleb, but like he's been unbelievable. So that said, man, give me the Missouri Tigers, because I just don't have faith in that defensive unit. They have not given us any empirical evidence that we should have faith in them.
Pete says, before I say something critical, I say two nice things. Well, LSU's defense looks great in their uniforms, and their tackling and pursuit can make Brian Kelly's face turn purple. Matching the school colors, so they've got that going for them, and not much else. Shocking to see the LSU D absorbing blows instead of giving them and jogging to the ball. I'm still a Missouri skeptic, but what we have seen that makes us think LSU can cover Luther Burden? Nothing. I'll take the home dog, but LSU wins.
Good analysis, Fake Reese.
Like it a lot. All right, interesting one here out west, 3 p.m. Eastern, Washington State at UCLA. Not overthinking this. Washington State is ranked. They're getting points from an unranked team. They're telling you something. Give me Chip Kelly and the UCLA guys off a bye, as well as Washington State is off a bye. I'll take the home team minus the points here with the Bruins.
So the Bruins defense, Bill said, per drive is the second best in the country.
Yeah.
Which, again, I knew they were good, but that was like a little bit like, whoa. You know, you don't think of them as reminding me. That's D'Anton Lynn, first-time collegiate defensive coordinator, came over from the Ravens, has done a really good job for them. That said, they have not seen an offense like Washington State. And they are just, I give them credit. Like, they play offense. It's, you know, it's like Paul Westphal played basketball, right? They just are going to go. And I do think personnel-wise, UCLA will be pressed much more than they were pressed against San Diego State, which may have the country's worst offense, NC Central, etc. So I feel like I'm gonna take the cheese here and take the points with the ranked road team. So I'll take give me Coug, and I think Coug wins outright.
All right.
They're a little sensitive on the Palouse these days, and this is not a I want to be nice to Wazoo pick. There's meat at stake. The win over Oregon State was impressive. I'll take the Cougs behind Cam Ward.
Very good. Another interesting matchup, 3:30 Eastern, Alabama minus 2.5 at Texas A&M. Total's 46.5. This, I think, is the toughest game to project, knowing what's going into this. Max Johnson has been, I think, great. When I watch the tape and getting the ball out, I understand, you know, it's not as strong of an arm as Connor Wegman, and maybe takes a little time to getting used to, but I love what he's done. That's a tough circumstance, knowing the pressure that's on that position for that team, for that school, under the rest that they're under, knowing the pressure that they brought up amongst themselves. On the other side, man, the Alabama defense just keeps getting better and better. And that's what, you know, you find out when you go on the road, how good your defense is. Haven't really seen Alabama in this kind of atmosphere. Oh, man, I love the changes that Alabama has made offensively to get Milroe some more design runs. You saw that last week. It's tough. I could easily see myself changing this pick, too, by Saturday. I'm going to take Bama, minus 2.5. I don't love it, but yeah. I just feel like that defense. I think that defense is real. They're real. I know they haven't played anybody to the caliber of Texas since they played them. But that defense, I mean, they just had blown things happen in the secondary. Those were those long touchdowns. I don't see that happening again. And it's a great matchup because Alabama's secondary is very good. And I really, really like the skill guys for A&M. Right now I'm going to take my 2.5 with Bama.
Yeah. They're just like – Bama has sort of taught us not to trust them this year because of their sputtering. And Texas A&M has spent like a good part of this decade teaching us not to trust them, right? So it's sort of like – one recently unreliable entity that was like relentlessly reliable for a while versus A&M, which has been a talent tease really for since the COVID year. Mm-hmm. So I'm just gonna I've thought about this game a lot and I bent my mind around different scenarios. Like Max Johnson, I do think Bama's getting better in sort of finding the identity. I think Booker getting back at guard was such a big difference.
Dude, he was great last week.
Yes, for them. But that said, Alabama hasn't seen any kind of environment like this, and they just have not been in it. So I am going to take the 12th man out of like default and lack of trust, and I'm going to say A&M. A&M figures out a way to win there. I mean, better teams from Bama have struggled there.
Yeah, so you're right.
I thought Bama covers versus Texas. They didn't. I thought they can't stop Ole Miss. They do. I can't figure out this team. It's like Pete or Steve trying to get a word in edgewise when I start a soliloquy. Frustrating. Anaya Smith says he has Nick Saban figured out. I'll need to see it. I'll take the Tide to win on a Will Reichard field goal.
Interesting. This is where I would tease Reese for being a homer.
So the game is tied, and he makes the field goal. Therefore, Reese is laying at 2.5, so he covers.
That's correct.
Is that fake Reese, right?
Yes.
That's right? Okay. All right.
Did you see Reese did put on Instagram this week like a hair gel post? Did you see that?
I did not.
Reese says NIL hair gel. Taylor, a little disappointed fake Reese hasn't brought up his hair gel thing yet.
I saw on social media. He wants an endorsement or just free hair gel, essentially.
I assumed he had one.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't. Maybe that it was a cry for
maybe
help.
Maybe my algorithm's messed up on the gram. I don't get any hair gel pop-ups on my feed. So I got to adjust my algorithm, I guess. Or maybe I don't because I definitely don't need any.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Next up, Battle of Undefeateds, Kentucky at Georgia. Georgia, 14.5 point favorite, over under 46.5. Pete, why don't you go first on this?
Did you see Ron Roberts, the Auburn defensive coordinator, on Twitter after the game last week?
I did not.
Okay. He responded to a fan who wondered why Brock Bowers wasn't better covered, and he said, why didn't you bracket and redouble him? And he said we had him bracketed all game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like maybe a pinch of lack of self-awareness there by Mr. Roberts, who, if you were going to bracket him, it sure didn't look like it, right?
Yeah.
Like, again, I'm not winning anybody's scheme battle here in football, but like, boy, it looked like Brock Bowers had a little space around him. So it will be an interesting challenge for Mark Stoops to see if they can slow down Brock Bowers. That said, that offensive machine is an adequate – again, this Georgia team has early Saban-y feels of we're going to mow you and ground you and just beat you. Like, there is not an element of explosion. There is not an element of skill outside Bowers and with Kendall Milton still hurt that like really freaks you out about Georgia. So I just, in Kentucky is like well equipped for a rock fight. This Kentucky team is better than others. So I'll take the 14.5. I just don't see this Georgia team pouncing anyone in the SEC. I think Kentucky's better than Auburn. Would you agree with that, Steve?
Yes. Yes.
So
yeah. Fake Reese, you want to go?
Ray Davis is coming off a 280-yard rushing day. Georgia's rush defense ranks 9th in yards per carry in the SEC. Georgia doesn't have a single cover this season, which is more shocking than me wearing sweats, an armpit yellow REM t-shirt, and Uggs on an airplane. Cats have covered 4 straight versus the Dogs. That half point suckers me in. I'll take Kentucky to barely cover.
All right. That's why I'm glad you guys went first, because I wasn't sure, Hemming and Hawn here. I'm going to take Georgia minus the points. When I look at the last 4 games that these two teams have played, 16-6, 30-13, 14-3, 21-0. Kentucky has averaged 7 points a game over the last 4 against Georgia. And Devin Leary, as much as I love him, I thought it was one of the best gets in the portal. He has not been good with the deep ball. 38% on throws of over 20 yards for the year so far in a Kentucky uniform. That's 11th in the conference. And as good as Ray Davis was last week, he threw for 69 yards in that game. That is not going to work. And when I love what Mark Stoops does every year, that team is ready. And it's like a similar model that Georgia has, right? Run the ball, play great defense. But Georgia's a better version of Kentucky at every facet. So along with Ohio State going on the road and winning at Notre Dame, I put Georgia in this category now. I loved what I saw from Carson Beck in the second half. I really do. Like, I would be super encouraged if I was a Georgia fan, because you didn't know. Nobody knew. He didn't know what he had. And he went on. I mean, throws were on the money. One overthrow to Delp, the tight end. That was a touchdown. If he made that, that's a different game. But, again, he battled back from adversity. Wasn't great, but he made the throws when he had to. I expect a monster effort here out of Georgia. I'll lay the 14.5. All right. Next, we have – interesting. You know what? This is very easy. Fresno State -6 at Wyoming, total 45.5. Fake Reese, you're going, and I'm going to predict he's taking Wyoming. Go ahead.
Wow. Look at you, young Stanford Steve. Not many people should wear a brown suit. You better have unflinching confidence. Ronald Reagan wore a brown suit. They immediately called him the great communicator. I have a brown suit. Coincidence? I think not. You know who else dons brown with flair? The Wyoming Cowboys, accented by mustard. When in doubt, go with brown and mustard. Super dog alert.
I knew it. Go ahead, Pete.
You know, Mountain West dreams have died in Laramie, fairly consistently over the years.
I was like, just going to say many.
Yes, there is a long history of offensive juggernauts sputtering out, of their offense grinding people into the ground. And this is a really good Fresno team, right? Would you say they are the best G5 team right now? They may have the best.
You can't. I don't think you can argue it.
Yeah.
I get it. The Power 5 teams they have beaten are not having great seasons, but they still went on the road and did it to both teams.
Yeah. Yeah, and James Madison, I think, should probably be in that conversation. I think they have Marshall this week, which is another team that, quite frankly, is in that conversation.
Next week, I believe.
Next week, I'm sorry.
Marshall's at NC State this week.
That's right, they are. So we'll get more empirical evidence there. But, yeah, if old Jeff Tedford, now he's an old hand. That's not his first. You probably played against Jeff Tedford, right, Steve?
No, I just missed him.
You just missed him?
Thank God, because that's when Cal started beating Stanford, when he got there.
Yeah, no, not his.
Undefeated against Cal.
Pete, not his so first rodeo. California what time Street. Is kick on this game?
8 p.m. Eastern on Big Fox.
8 p.m. Eastern on Big Fox? Huh?
Yeah.
How about that? I'm taking Fresno. Sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. Just they've had too much firepower. They've faced enough class here. I think Wyoming's really good. I hope it's a great game. I just think I think Fresno is going to break the mustard jinx.
All right, I'm going to side with Fake Reese here. I'm going to take the home team plus the points. I've I think I've taken every home team except A&M, and I could easily see myself taking A&M by the end of the week. But I am officially on Bama in this pod. I'll take Wyoming. I love that defense. I thought, you know, people just say it was a hangover game against Texas. That team battled. That's not an easy spot to do. You know, outmanned at every position on the field, hung around for a good, you know, half, three quarters. I think they got the goods to frustrate Fresno State. I was watching Fresno State, Nevada, after I got done with Van Pelt's show last Saturday night at about 2:30 in the morning. I did see Reno get a safety and a touchdown for a late cover against Fresno State. I will take the home team here. Plus, that place will be awesome. One of the best atmospheres we'll see this weekend will be in Laramie, so I'll take the home team plus the points.
It looked electric at that Tech game. I mean, it's just like – that's a once-a-decade season that you get – yep. Tech there, and then you get Big Boy Fox that's awesome. Like that to me is why I love college football, because Laramie, Wyoming will be on fire. It will of the 365 days a year in Laramie, that's like night one there, which is great.
Yeah, I was hoping maybe the outside chance, if they were to win this game, if we could get there for game day, but I don't think so. Their biggest games are on the road. Anyway, alrighty, that'll do it. Pete, good luck.
Yes.
Fake Reese, good luck. Great job.
My recommendation for Reese is that when he just wears a perfectly knotted tie while he's like sitting around his office on a Tuesday with no one watching, if he just loosens it a little, it might help his voice come back. Coming up, we've got College Game Day star Jen Latta bringing us an interview from the Mercedes Sprinter van. This interview is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, ESPN College Football Podcast Sprinter, coming soon to a game near you. Visit mbvans.com/sprinterlabs to learn more.
Well, the college football season is in full force. We are just moving along week after week here, hanging out at the Texas State Fair just outside of the Cotton Bowl with Kenneth Murray, who is a current NFL player for the Chargers, but a lot of connections to this game right here. And this conversation is coming from our custom ESPN college football sprinter van and is presented by Mercedes-Benz. So, Kenneth, being here at the Cotton Bowl, what are the feelings that come over you? I know you played in several of these big rivalry games.
Yeah, definitely, you know, grateful to be back. But this place is special. Playing in this game is special. Obviously, it's two programs that are, you know, very rich with tradition. You know, being back here is something that's special for me, but, you know, I'm excited to see my guys go out there and play a great game tomorrow. It's just nothing like this game. I think it's the greatest rivalry in college football. Seeing that stadium split down the middle at the 50-yard line between the crimson and the burnt orange that we don't like. But, it's exciting to be back.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because your guys are the Sooners. You grew up in Texas, went to Oklahoma. Let's go back in the DeLorean. Take me into the time machine. What was that decision like for you to decide to go across the border, play in Norman when you were from Texas? Did you get a lot of grief? Was there a lot of like hand wringing that went into that?
Not really. I mean, it was pretty easy for me. If I'm being honest, my parents wanted me to go to Texas. I got the Texas offer probably a month before I got the Oklahoma offer. We had seen Texas. We went and visited. My parents really wanted me to go there. A lot of people wanted me to go there. But always in the back of my mind, I knew I was an Oklahoma guy. Just growing up watching the All Access, seeing those guys like Kenny Stills and all the people that were on All Access ESPN growing up on YouTube, I would watch that religiously. So it was pretty easy. Once I got the OU offer, I remember, you know, my dad was on the phone. We both were on the phone with Coach Stoops and at the time the linebacker coach, Tim Kish. And I just remember as soon as we hung up the phone, I told him that's where I was going. It was a done deal. And so, we went and did a visit in July of, I can't remember what year it was. And then it was a done deal. And so yeah.
The Brent Venables era underway at Oklahoma. He obviously is a defensive minded guy. What have you seen from these defenses? How have you seen them evolve with him at the helm?
Man, they're playing great defense right now. And I think it's kind of kind of a thing that you see, you know, in his system. You know, obviously, you know, he was a hell of a coach for us early in the early 2000s with amazing defenses, a lot of guys that went to the NFL, and then obviously him going to Clemson, you see kind of early on, you know, they struggle a little bit, and then in that second year, it's like all of a sudden they take off, and I think that's the same thing you're seeing with this Oklahoma defense, him getting the guys in there that he wants to be in there, and, you know, everybody's comfortable with the system, running around, flying around. I think that's what you're seeing right now, and so I love watching those guys watching those guys play every week. You know, they make me proud. They make me a proud Oklahoma Sooner, so for sure.
A lot of people talk about Quinn Ewers when it comes to this matchup. He obviously the quarterback for the Texas team. But Dylan Gabriel is a heck of a talent. Not a lot of people know about him or have watched him very closely. What do you see on film from your quarterback?
Man, he's a guy that can throw the ball down the field. He's a general. I think that's really the biggest thing I see from him is that he's a general. He's a guy that he's getting everybody lined up. He's telling everybody what to do, and he's facilitating the offense. I think that's what you want out of a quarterback. Obviously, he can push it down the field. And so I think ultimately that's what we're going to see tomorrow. I mean, they like to get in and out of place really, really fast. And so, you know, you need a guy that's going to be a general back there, a guy that can tell everybody what to do, get everybody lined up, and be successful.
This Red River rivalry will be the last year that Texas and Oklahoma are both in the Big 12, right, headed to the SEC, of course. What do you make of all the realignment and the expansion of the playoff? It's not the same college football that you played. What are your reactions to the changes?
Man, it's different. That's all I can say. I mean, obviously, you know, me being in the Big 12 all 3 years and then college football playoff, four teams, and now it's expanding and everybody's going to the SEC. It's just different. Even NIL, all that stuff is just different. I think it's good. I think, you know, the players are obviously going to be able to, you know, get what they deserve. And then obviously we're going to have some big time college football games with, you know, big schools like OU and Texas going to the SEC with like Bama and LSU. So, you know, as a competitor, you love it because, I mean, it's just more competition, being able to compete with the best. And I think, you know, playing in Oklahoma, you know, that's all we want to do is compete with the best. And so being able to get that opportunity, I think, you know, everybody loves it.
You've been in the NFL for a bit now, Kenneth. And when you have guys in your locker room who played for one of those other teams, like a Texas, how do you handle them this week? You chatting? You making bets? Like, what is the chatter between NFL players who went to rivalry programs?
Yeah, we're not making bets. Because obviously, you know, the NFL is really, really strict on their gambling policy.
Thank you for being clear on that. We appreciate that.
We're definitely, you know, giving each other, you know, some healthy chatter. You know, I have one Texas guy on my team who fortunately is my kicker, Dicker the kicker. And so he's made some pretty big time kicks for them, in years past. And so, you know, I'm always, you know, showing them love, letting them know that it's, you know, horns down for forever. And so, it's pretty fun, you know, obviously being able to, you know, be in a locker room with guys from all over the place and be able to talk smack here and there. So yeah, we enjoy it.
Before we let you go, give me your top four teams, the top four teams you think will be in the college football playoff at the end of the year. You can go with your Oklahoma Sooners. Yeah. That's obviously, that's a given.
For sure.
What other teams have impressed you this year that you think will be there
Oklahoma,
at the end?
Oklahoma will be there, I think. I really like, you know, Georgia, obviously. They're a really good team. I think USC in the Pac-12.
Okay. Well, Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams is nice, man. He's looking really good. And then I think the last one, I'd probably say, I don't know. I want to know.
Like a Washington? You like a Big Ten team? I'll take that as a no.
Michigan. I've
Harbaugh
seen a couple,
back.
I've seen a couple of Michigan games. They look pretty good. So,
especially with Harbaugh back on the sideline,
sure,
right? Feel like they're a different team now.
Absolutely.
When he's out there running the ship.
Got their head coach back. So, yeah, I can see that for sure.
All right. It has been great chatting with you. Appreciate you hanging out. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the rivalry. This conversation from our custom ESPN college football sprinter van is presented by Mercedes-Benz. Thank you, Kenneth Murray.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.